Just want to release this word that Sammy brought during this time of worship, in line with Denise's word around the chaos and destruction of the tornado.
So a couple of years ago, my brother was in the Bahamas, and there was a massive hurricane. I can't remember what it was called, but I think it was the worst one that there's been in like the last couple of decades. And many people lost their lives. He was working on the boats, and their boat was broken, like it had been swept. There were boats in trees, there were boats in buildings. It was really bad. And we were all praying on this side. And I remember afterwards him just retelling, you know, the chaos that they went through. And they basically, what they had to do was they had to find the eye of the storm. It was the only place they were safe. But they actually had to look at the weather app. They had to follow this hurricane and go, where is the eye of the storm? And they had to go there, and they had to actually find safety in the eye of the storm. And I feel like even with that word Denise gave, I saw this picture of like rubbish flying in the air, like everywhere, like around us, even before she shared the word. And I felt that some of us have been taken up by this hurricane, by this tornado, of the chaos that's going on in the world, of the voices, of the news, of the just the reality of the world we live in. We are not blind to what's going on. We are not blind to the stress, to the financial pressures, to sickness, to disease. These things are real. But guys, God is our refuge. He is our safe place. He is the one in whom we can find shelter. But we need to be looking for it. We cannot just stand by and get taken up with every wind of doctrine, with every bad news, with all the reality. Julia just shared this scripture, and which falls in so well. Psalm 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do, but not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. We have hope in this time. We have Jesus. So if you feel like I have been taken up by the things of this world, my head is spinning nonstop, all you need to do is go, Jesus, forgive me for partnering with these things. I choose to find my safety in you.
Amen, amen, amen. It is crazy times. Indeed. Bless the Lord. Thanks, Sharnay. Thanks, worship guys, for leading worship. And Nick, for leading. Come, Lord. It's crazy. I don't know if you guys saw the news yesterday. Yesterday morning, Israel and the USA and the Iran is at each other. And Jesus said this is going to happen. So in Luke 21, Matthew 24, it says there will be wars and rumors of wars. And when these things happen, don't be alarmed. So if you stressed this morning about this and you want to take your kids out of school and buy extra baked beans and toilet rolls, Jesus said, don't be alarmed. But he gave us a couple of clear things to do, actually. He says, be alert. So don't take your kids out of school and buy toilet paper. We also need. Go live on a farm somewhere, compound. Jesus said, be alert. Don't be alarmed. pray. Find your peace in Him. He says in Luke 21, verse 28, it says, when all these things begin to happen, stand, look at that, stand, look up, for your salvation is near. Your salvation is near. Guys, this is good news. These things need to happen because the Lord is coming back. Just quickly say to the guy next to you, the Lord is coming back. And we're going to be ready. Yeah. We're going to be ready. You got to add that. If you're not ready, if you're not feeling flip, I'm not ready. Flip is the brother that's struggling, guys. That's sorry. But we got to be ready. I love, like Denise shared this morning, straight out of Isaiah 26, the Lord will keep in perfect peace. Come on. Those whose eyes is fixed on Jesus. Fixed, guys. We need to fix our eyes. Hebrews 12, fix your eyes unto Jesus, the author and finisher. He's the beginning and the end. So everything in between, He fills that as well. But fix our eyes on Jesus. We want to do that. And we want to do that. I just need to get a timer here going as well. So you guys ready? Ready for the end times with Jesus? Looking unto Him, running hard after Jesus, not alarmed, but alert. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, full of faith, guys. No one is needing to panic, okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. So over the last couple of weeks, we've been speaking about dying to live, laying down our lives for Jesus, counting the cost, giving everything. Who of you guys were here for that? A lot of you not. And then last week, Nick shared about being rooted and grounded and established in the love of God. And that God is our, who was here last week? Father. You guys remember that? Jesus actually teaches, his very first thing he teaches us when we pray, he says, our Father. Not just my Father, but our Father. Which gives us this indication that there is something more than just me and God. And this morning, I want us to look a little bit about what it means to be children of our Father, and what does it mean to be brothers and sisters and mothers in the house. That's quite crazy. So a lot of us, and the problem here is, guys, a lot of us think Christianity is about coming to church, getting a good preach. Maybe a few good songs. Some of us like to do Bible studies. It's really about that. And some of us really just want friends because it's lonely not to come to church. Praise the Lord for church, for that, for all the social beings among us. It's a lot more. And we're going to look at that this morning as we are children. And the important thing is that we want to find the right church. So in May 2011, I met my lovely almost wife then, Sammy. She was Sammy Rukensmith. Met her one Wednesday night after like a young adult. I was still a young adult then. My wife was like 23. And so I meet her. So I positioned my, well, just before I met her, I saw her. Green eyes, leather boots, shanana. And so I position, I see she knows this one guy. So I position myself quickly by the door. I'm going to obviously introduce myself, you know. Guys. So I'm standing there. I'm going to meet this girl. She walks out. I'm like, hello. And I meet her finally. That Saturday, I went for a coffee by her house. That Monday, I was like, Lord, how can I pursue this thing a little bit more? And I sent her a message. Can I come make you guys chicken wraps? She gladly accepted that. That's the easy way, guys, in. So I went to the house, and I literally asked her that night, you know, what's her life story? She just got saved. She had a three-month-old baby at that stage, this little guy, who's now a big guy, 15 years old. He was 3 months old, and I was like, wow, lekker. But one thing I asked the Lord that night was, Lord, I just want to know one thing. Does she have a genuine relationship with you? Because that's the only thing that matters. Because if she actually follows after you, then we can do this thing. Not, is she just at church? Is she following after you? And I could see that now she had a genuine relationship, barely saved. I mean, like, come Lord. But the Lord is good. So we started becoming friends. 6 weeks later, we got together. And in those next few months, the big question came. What church are we going to go to? That's a big question, eh? Because Sammy was in Joshua Generation Church in Mossel Bay at that stage. I was down the road somewhere else. And so, come on, yes. So one Sunday afternoon, I come after my church, I come to her, and I see her, she's a bit emotional. And I was like, are you right? And she says, you know what? Yes, I was sitting in church this morning. At that stage, church was in the coffee shop, back in Mossel Bay now. In the coffee shop, the auditorium didn't have a roof yet. So they were meeting in there. That was before I joined. And she said she looked through the window into the auditorium, and she could see the Lord started showing her the auditorium being filled. Now, at that stage, there were 60, 80 people. The auditorium was, a couple of years later, filled with 500 people. But that was 60, 80 people, and she said she saw it, and she saw people loving one another, loving Jesus. And she just got, like, excited. And the next moment, she goes, like, oh, but I'm probably going to marry that guy, which means I need to go to his church. You're like a bit of a, I don't know what that thought pattern is called, but anyway. So she shared this with me, and I'm like, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord where he wants to add us. You know, in Acts 2:42 and onwards, you see the Lord adds people to the fellowship. So we literally had to go like, Lord, where are you adding us? So first I want to say, as children of our Father, the Lord adds us to families and to local churches. And when God adds us, we don't want to separate ourselves from that. And like Psalm 1 says, we actually want to be planted. You know, the word that Nick was using, we want to be rooted, we want to get planted into our local families. Because this church, this word church, actually means a gathering of people. So it's not me watching my YouTube channel. That's not church, guys. Because there's no people gathering. It's you and your phone. Or your, I don't know what you watch, maybe on your TV. You and Beyond Drinking Coffee is not a church meeting. That's part of a church, doing church. But God wants to add us to family, and he does it in church. And here we are, 15 years later, I moved over, went to Justine, and here we are. Our family literally has grown from 60, 80 back there to, I mean, like, it's incredible. Justine now is thousands and thousands of people. But my local, if you can call it almost my local immediate church family, has moved now to here. So over the last, say, 15 months, we've been part of you guys. But the point is God wants to add each of us to a local family. Church family, where you and I get the opportunity to do something. And this is what he wants us to do, is to learn to love. Is to learn to love. So Jesus says something quite crazy. If you guys know that family is important, like real, like blood family. God says it. He says, parents, love your children. Children, honor your parents. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, honor your husbands. Very important. Importante. But then Jesus says something very interesting in Matthew 12. Let's read this together. Verse 46. As Jesus was speaking to the crowd, so Jesus is teaching somewhere. He says his mother and brother, say mother and brother. Brothers. Stood outside asking to speak to him. Someone told Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside and they want to speak to you. Verse 48, and Jesus asked, who is my mother and who are my brothers? That seems a little bit offensive there for a moment, eh? Yeah. If you guys are like feeling like that's a bit awkward. Okay, so Jesus is just shifting perspective here. So keep stay with Jesus here, guys. Then he pointed to his disciples and said, look, these are my mother and brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother. He says, this thing that I have with my real mother, it's amazing. It's great. The thing I have with my brothers on earth, it's great. But the family that I join you to as a believer is family in the truest and most godly sense of the word. It transcends just being earthly blood. It becomes Jesus' blood family. Still blood, paid for by the blood of Jesus. So I just want to throw out a couple of verses, just so that we get this point. We need to see that we are actually, if you look quickly, look to the guy around you. There's some sibling. Siblings, look at that. No, guys, don't avoid them. Like, come on. Like, you know, who of you guys got kids? Oh, my goodness. Try to drive with three kids in your back seat anywhere. Guys, how many times I've wanted to just drop them somewhere. Okay, you guys get the point. I'm not saying this is going to be easy, but Galatians 3:20, just a couple of verses to establish this concept for us. Galatians 3:26, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Then Romans 8:29, for God knew his people in advance. He chose Henry in advance, Wesley in advance. You're not here by an accident, guys. He knew what Alfie is going to go through and what Alfie is going to do. Even Maya, like even James Probert. Where's that guy? Come, Lord. He knew, guys. And he chose them, listen to this, to become like his son. What? Am I chosen to become like Jesus? You must ask that question. Quickly ask the question. Yes, the answer is yes. Okay. And then, so that, listen to this, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. How crazy is that? So Jesus, that word firstborn in the Jewish culture basically states the preeminence and the priority of Jesus amongst us. There's no other brother or sister that's going to get close to the importance of Jesus. He has the only place of worship amongst us. Just so that we quickly, just because that's our cult start, eh? So suddenly there's everyone is brothers and sisters, next moment they intermarry and all kinds of stuff. Just hold your horses, brother. We stick to the scriptures, okay? So the preeminence. So coming to church is actually not about this, just the songs that we sing, the preaching that we do. It's literally to become brothers and sisters, family. And we're going to get to the practicals a little bit later. Okay, who wants practicals? We're just like, what are you talking about, brother? Like, we're going to get practicals, okay? Anyone else want practicals? I saw like 20 hands. Johan says yes. So we literally get to annoy one another. If someone annoys you, they're your sibling. They need to. Guys, we need to establish this thing. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. If the Lord has added you here, this is your family. If the Lord hasn't added you here and the Lord wants to add you, has added you somewhere else, don't run away from someone else. Be there. Okay? God, that's good. Come on. But if you look across, guys look quite different. I mean, like Fritz and I don't look from the same mother at all. Bali and I definitely not. I mean, like, look at that hair. That's too much. That's too beautiful. But so let's read a little verse. Ephesians 1 verse 5. So God decided in advance to adopt us. My goodness. Into his own family by bringing us. So this is God the Father now, eh? He brings us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. This is not something just, okay, it seemed like a good idea. I'm going to do this. I hope it works. No. This is the pleasure of Abba Father. This is the pleasure of our God in heaven, to bring us into his own family, and you get to call Henry your brother. Amen. Amen. Ethan, you with us? But not only are we brothers and sisters. Let's read Romans 12 verse 5. What does this brother and sister means? Romans 12 verse 5 says, now Paul uses this language of a body, a physical body. So if I look at Matthew, you guys see this different part. Don't look at Matthew maybe. But look at Matthew. You guys see, there's a person here, which means there's a body. This means the head, there's arms, what do you call this? Everything, torso, vibes, legs, toes, feet, everything, eyes, ears, different functions, okay? So Paul uses language, we see it in Corinthians and Romans, that when we, so it is with Christ's body, that we are many parts. Many parts, lift up one of the hands. And of one body, and we all, what does that word say? We belong where? Not just to Jesus. That's strong language there, guys. So this hand literally cannot function without this forearm. This forearm can't function with this bicep right there. This thing can't operate without the shoulder working properly. And all of this can't work properly without the head, which is Jesus. Jesus wants to lead us, and he wants to teach us how to love one another. And we're going to get to some practical ways how to love one another. Thanks, Matthew. But so we, guys, quickly say to the guy next to you, I actually belong to you. Oof. This is tough, guys. Hey? This is tough. Jenna? Okay, stop. You guys are getting excited. My goodness. I love it. Alex, did you say to someone? Okay. It's so awkward when there's this random girl sitting next to you and you're like, okay. Guys, that doesn't count as dating or marriage proposals. Okay. Amen? All the old people say yes. Guys, keep an eye over the young bunch, okay? In other words, we are not here to get something. That hand has a job to do. So I've got a job to do. I want to learn how to do that. And the main job is to learn to love. To become like Jesus and to love. To become like Jesus and to love. Every day, become like Jesus and to love. If I get up tomorrow morning, I want to become like Jesus and I want to learn how to love. That's very good. Come on. Who's finding that very good? Morgan, yes. I love it. And guys, it's going to be hard sometimes. It's going to be hard. People are different. You know, Jesus, when he chose his disciples, he chose Matthew. Matthew. Guys, Matthew was a tax collector. Do you know what that means? Not this Matthew, sorry. That was a bit confusing, eh? No, Jesus, I'm talking about in the scripture now, disciple, Jesus. He chose Matthew. He was a tax collector, which means everyone else hates him. Not the type of guy who chooses to help lead your people. Everyone hates him. In fact, people would walk around and kill tax collectors because they take their money. It was part of the culture. So Jesus was a risky guy in the sense of, from our perspective. From our perspective, it looks like not good. You guys hearing me? Then he chose Peter, who was first Simon, and his brother, and James and John. These guys were fishermen. They weren't the accountants and the lawyers and the successful businessmen. They were the guys trying to pay their bills catching fish. Say, that's me. If you can relate to Peter, a lot of you look down now. Don't look down, look up. That's the Lord chooses the weak amongst us. That's good news. But listen to this. John 13:34, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you. Regardless of where we come from, druggies, tattoo artists, even golfers, people who play golf, even bodyboarders, even bodybuilders, come on, I love it. Book readers, coffee drinkers, tea drinkers, even soup eaters, I don't understand that. But guys, church is not a club where we get together because we want like-minded people in terms of we like the same thing. Not at all. Because we are adopted into this family, not because it's not a club. So Jesus says, now I give you a new commandment. Verse 34, John 13. Love one another. How? As I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? Dying. Literally. Not saying lay me down, love. Okay, you can have the front seat in the car. Not that type. Jesus loved us while we were still enemies. So make that quickly practical. Do I wait for my wife to be kind to me before I start loving her? Even if she never does this, obviously. But even if she would treat me like an enemy, I want to love her like Jesus. Now, you kind of feel responsible to do that in the local in your real family at home. But now look across here. If Henry doesn't invite me to his party, or he's actually rude with me, he talks about my back, whatever, I'm going to love him like Jesus loves. So the very first layer of that is to love without wanting anything back. Nothing back. That's crazy stuff. This is the type of love Jesus is inviting us to. And then he goes on and says, so as I've loved you, so you must love one another. In verse 35, by this. By what? By our love. Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Not by your great preaching, not by your great songs, not by your status updates, not by your reels or your posts, by your love for one another. Do you know what that means? We need to get into one another's lives. Because people need to see it. Which means we're going to have to do things. Like real things. You know, Andrew tells a story. It's quite a funny story about these two people who came to church here. Brand new, came into church the one Sunday. And the next week, they're at the second row already, like Bali and Farah. They're like dialing in. We're going to take part. We're going to be part of this church. And Andrew's checked these two guys. And they're like, yes, dialing in. Come on. And the third Sunday, they're standing in front. They're lifting their hands. Andrew says, oh, man, it's so cool to have these guys with us. It's so exciting. And a year later, he's preaching in front. He does an altar call. And he says, guys, if you have if not given your life to the Lord, I want to give an opportunity today. So these two put up their hands. And a true story now. And it put up their hands. And Andrew afterwards, he's like, anyway, he kind of dismisses them at first. Afterwards, he goes to them like, why did you put up your hands? He's like, we've never given our life to the Lord. But when we came here, we felt loved. We felt loved. That's the type of church and the type of people we want to be. That love people into his family. Yeah, I'm not saying you don't have to sit. You can sit in the back a little bit. Come sit in the front as well every now and then, eh? But like we wanna be a people who love. And let's look at a couple of practical things this morning. You know, Galatians 6 says, let's not get tired of doing good. And Dan preached on this a couple of while ago. But verse 10, listen to this. Whenever we have opportunity, we should do good to everyone, okay? But especially to those in the family of faith. There's a special call on each one of us to actually do special good works amongst those in the faith and in the house. And that is without expecting anything back. Hebrews 13 says the same thing. Do not neglect to do good. So let's look at a couple of practical things that the Lord gives us. How can we love one another? The very first thing is to actually open our homes. You know, Acts 2:42 says the Lord added people, but as the first church was planted, it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostolic teaching, to prayer, to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread. And they met in the temple, but they also met in each other's homes. Do we have the next verse? I think it's verse 44. And they met in each other's homes daily. So the Bible teaches us to open our homes. Get people in your home. Even if you've got one chair. If you've got two chairs. If you've got no chairs. Get people in your home. It's the way of the kingdom. I must say, I love like Jordan, the first time he invited himself to dinner with me. He asked me, when can I come for dinner? I'm like, okay, cool, that night. And he goes like, what are we going to eat? Now, that's a good attitude. That's what I'm talking about. He understands that he's the son in the house. You know, Eli asks me every day, what are we going to eat? What are we going to eat? Jesus, what are we going to eat? So as sons and daughters, as brothers and sisters, as siblings in the house, you get to invite yourself into other people's homes as well, especially if they are leaders. I want to quickly say this to you guys. Some of you guys are waiting for other people to invite you. Invite yourself. Who's happy? Invite yourself. We had a friend in Mossel Bay, guys, her name MJ. She would contact me and Sammy and ask us, hey guys, can I come visit? And I was like, of course. And then she goes like, can I make you guys dinner? And I'm like, of course. I'm like, how do you deny someone offering to make you dinner? So MJ would make us dinner, and she would come visit, and we started connecting. A month or so later, she was like, hey guys, can I come make dinner again? And we're like, of course, come make dinner. And I'm like, boo, I'll buy the stuff. You just tell me what I need to buy. So, and she would come and make dinner, hang out with us. A month later, she contacted us again. Did you guys want to go on a date night? I'm like, Leafy. Of course I want to go on a date night. And she was like, I'll come look after the kids. So she looked after our kids. By the end of that year, who do you think gets the first invite to go to the school concert? Apart from my immediate family, MJ. We just bought her a ticket. And say, MJ, we've got the schools have got their graduation or school concert or sport day. She just became part of the family. Why? Because she didn't wait for an invite. She understood that she needs to step out and include herself. Who's getting a revelation that you can actually? Yes, I love it. Come on, Lisa, I love it. I'm going to get an invite from Lisa is going to invite himself, guys. Get your bride place ready. I love it. Get people in your home, guys. Just a very practical things on getting our home. Lower your standards. We have very good friends in Mossel Bay, Anton and Fimke, come out of from the Netherlands, and their biggest challenge was to keep it simple. So they literally looked at each other one day and they said, we're going to stop performing when people come visit because it's family. We're not going to stress ourselves out and clean the, suddenly do spring cleaning, pack your Tupperware cupboards. That needs to be right because Nick and Belinda is going to come visit. Oh my goodness, polish your windows. I know it's embarrassing, guys, when the kids, but don't worry about it. And they literally made cheese toasties. Cheese toasties. So in our family, we've got to go to, like, let's just make hot dogs. Gooi a boerewors roll in the air fryer. Shanana, there we go. We got it. Guys, we need to make this simple. We need to make it accessible for ourselves. So stop performing. And some of you guys, if you can, by all means, make the table nice. But you don't have to. Because ask anyone who's come to us. Sometimes it looks absolutely beautiful. Sometimes it looks absolutely messy. And that's life. Praise God. Praise God. Come on. The second thing, homes. Invite yourself. Babysit. Guys, house sitting. Offer to house sit people's homes. Don't take money for it. Your reward is in heaven. I'm making very good suggestions here, guys. We need one another. Why are we paying someone to look after our house when you can give someone for free? Come on. Babysitters. You don't need babysitters. Look at all these people. You've got brothers and sisters. Hey? Awesome. Guys, I don't pay for babysitters. There's no way. Because I don't see it in the Bible. The Bible says look after one another. No, I'm serious. The Bible says look after one another. Care for one another. We shouldn't be paying for babysitters. Huh? Who's excited about getting babysitters? Quick question. Hold on. Who of you guys think this is, there is a couple of new thoughts here, hey? You maybe haven't heard this, maybe you have heard this, but maybe you're not practicing that yet. Yeah, lifts to the airport. I love driving Phil at 4 o'clock down to the airport. Dylan drove Dan to the airport yesterday. Like, they had to be there at 6 o'clock or whatever. Like, we can't ask the wives to drive their husbands in the dead of the night to the airport. Have you guys seen that road? It's a little bit dodgy, a little bit. So let's look after one another. Single woman, ask families, become part of that family. Choose families, adopt them. Like, you can adopt families. The whole family. Adopt Nick, Berlin, adopt Alex. Where's your lovely wife this morning? I saw her earlier. She's serving. Well done. So Alex got a wife. You guys can adopt Alex and Kiara as well. And there's people, there's grannies, new grannies, a lot of grannies in the house who wants to help, eh? Auntie Rona, come on, Auntie Shelley. Where's Auntie Margie? The people are willing to help us. So let's make space for them. Have fun with people. Don't just be all serious and go like, oh, every time I have to get out my guitar and worship. No. You can worship. But have fun. Play games. Go to the beach. And if you're not invited to the beach again, what do? You invite you. Oh, you guys are catching on very quickly. Invite yourself, brother. And sometimes it's awkward. Ask where's Auntie. I invite the whole comp to the beach one day. And me, I'm alone there with Auntie Michelle. Yes. So it's just me and Michelle. Whoops. So me and Michelle, that's cool. It's my auntie. Just don't invite other young girls. Oh, opportunity. Look, Georgia is still available now. We're going to invite Georgia to the beach. Guys. Okay, Nick, we're going to have to keep. So don't open the, we're not, guys, wisdom. Okay. Have fun together, guys. Babysit, all of that. And one last thing is to encourage one another daily. Hebrews actually says it, eh? Do I have a verse for that? Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 4. Encourage each other daily. Have you guys read that verse? Until the day is drawing near. Daily. If you don't have people, listen quickly. Again, practical tip. If you don't have someone encouraging you, firstly, start encouraging one, two, three other people, and then ask people to encourage you. I love Bali and Craig has done that as well. They're keeping each other, and Craig, one that didn't get a message from Bali. So Craig goes like, what did you say? Are we like, did something happen? You know, so let's keep encouraging each other. Call each other, have coffees. So this morning, one of the ways we say yes to being part of church is we want to learn to love. Guys, this is not, learning to love is a continuous road. Till that day, okay? Till that day. But we want to get into one another's lives. We want to get up each other's businesses in a beautiful way. In a beautiful way. In the Lord. In the Spirit. Not telling each other what to do, but getting into one another's lives. And one of the ways we do that as well, we see it in scriptures, we meet in each other's homes. We plant comms, we have communities on Wednesday night. And we want to actually celebrate a part of that today. We've got two new comm plants, two new comm leaders, families that are, he said, yes to, I want to love people. Basically what we're saying, I want to open my home as well. So I want to call Calvin and Karina to the front. Bring the kids with. Ethan, Eli. I'll tell you now why I think it's so important to bring the kids with. And then we've got Cam and Michelle. Cam and Michelle. Guys, early last year, we were, Sam and I, need to either go, we had to find a job, or we were trusting the Lord to take us into full-time ministry, which happened at that stage. But we didn't know at a stage. So we went and prayed with our kids. And we said, guys, we feel we need to go into ministry, but we don't have income. Okay? So we're like, will you guys pray with us if you think this is the Lord's will? And I remember that night we were all in the room together, and JC goes like, yeah, I really feel it's the Lord's will. JC goes like, yeah, I really feel it's God's, Eli. And they but all said yes. And I was like thinking of that, that as families we do these things together, eh? It's a sacrifice for Eli as well and for Ethan when the parents say yes. Because if we say yes to the kingdom, we ask the kids to come with. If I say yes to have Marley and my other guys at my home, like they've looked after our kids the other day for like 6 days, it costs them. So I want to honor those families who's taking their kids on this journey. Like this little one, growing up in church, it's a beautiful thing. But these guys have said yes, they would love to host communities, and not only host, but also help leading the people. So they help leading the people, which is amazing. They're taking over basically from our old com, and Calvin and Karina. Calvin has been just a solid guy. You've guys been in church for 20 years, basically, in Josh 10. And so they've got an extremely a lot of experience, solid guys, steadfast. I love that about you, Calvin. Karina is just a bundle of life. And joy and hospitality, and together they make a key couple for the, what we need, like what we've read today. These practical things, they do that already. They love people. So excited for you guys. We're going to come around you guys and pray. Ethan, love you, man. Love you, man. Thank you, Eli. And Cam and Michelle, you guys are taking over from Paul. What did I say? Yeah, they're taking over from Paul and Haley. And we are excited for you guys. I've heard only amazing things. You guys have had us for dinner, so thank you for that as well. They made us burgers. It was lovely. And one thing that Paul mentioned about you guys is like they love, even though you guys have a crazy life, busy, working, baby, you guys are always willing to say yes to the Lord. Always willing to say yes to the Lord. So keep doing that. Keep breaking that open. Keep loving the people as you guys are doing. And so those comps, can you guys come around these people? We're just going to pray over them for a moment. And then just trust that the Lord do great things through you guys. So you guys are welcome to come. Can we stand together? Is that okay? Is that okay? So we don't, yeah. Guys, this is such a beautiful thing that if people say yes to making their homes open. But I want to actually ask, guys, as they say yes, we have an opportunity this morning to also say yes. We have an opportunity to say, Lord, I want to open my home. I want to open my fridge. I want to give my time and my talents and my treasure to help love people. Basically, help lead people, bring people forth. So if the elders can also come, it will be amazing. We just join around these guys. But if you this morning want to say, Lord, I also want to say yes. We're going to sort of pray this thing together. Just put up your hand for a moment. Lord, I want to love your people more. I want to open my home. I want to open my heart. I want to give more. I want to give more. You know, the harvest is plentiful. Jesus said, the workers are few. This morning we say, Lord, I want to be a worker. I want to be a lover of your people. I want to open my home. I want to open my fridge, even if I've only got vorsies in it. I want to say yes, ready to share. So Father, I want to pray over each one of us this morning, but firstly just over these guys. Calvin and Karina, Lord, Cam and Michelle. Lord, thank you. For their yes. Lord, I pray for your blessing over them, that your joy will sustain them, that your peace will cover them, that your love will flow from their hearts, Lord, that they don't have to try to have all the answers, but they can simply point to you, Jesus. They can simply point to you, Jesus. Jesus, you are the answer. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. And we pray that they will walk that out. their whole lives running after you, Jesus, eyes fixed on you, Jesus. You are the giver of peace. You are the giver of life. Lord, and I pray over their children. Lord, I pray for your will for their lives. I pray for your destiny, your calling, your purposes for these kids, Lord, from the youngest, Lord, to the oldest. Lord, I pray that as they love, that many will come in. Oh, Lord. Lord, we call them in. We call many in. Lord, I pray, I want to pray one more thing, Lord, that there will always be room for one more. May there be room for one more, all the time, Lord. One more. When the lounge is cringing, Lord, and there's no more seats, let there still be room for one more, Lord, because we are here to love more people into your family, Jesus. We want to be a church who actually disciple the nations. So I pray, Lord, that they will do this by your Spirit, by your power. No striving, Lord. It will be easy in a way. Lord, I pray that you'll take off the pressures of it right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Easy. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, and I pray over us, Lord, as we said yes this morning, to be a people who want to love like you loved. That new commandment, Lord. We want to love like you loved. Even when people are not necessarily loving us. Or even when it's difficult, Lord. When there's offense, perhaps, Lord, I pray that we will be lovers. That our love will break through the darkest offense, the hardest offense, Lord. Lord, I pray for forgiveness in our hearts. That we will be quick to forgive, Lord. Lord, I pray that we will break down walls of division with our love. And that we will do that according to your scriptures, Lord. According to your truth. By you, Jesus. Just where you are. Just fix your eyes on Jesus for a moment. Just from your heart. Say, Lord, I want to love your people. I want to love your people. The most precious thing to God is his people. And he gives you and me the opportunity to love one another. He actually gives us one another. Oh Lord, Holy Spirit, we ask that you will in our hearts help us to see the great joy of loving one another. And sometimes it's with the joy set before us that we endure certain things. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to fill our hearts, Lord. That we will comprehend with all the saints, Lord, the great width and the depth and the height and the length of your love. As we choose to love one another, that we will love intentionally. And we will love by looking unto you, Jesus. Let's just keep, just for one more moment, can we just keep our eyes on Jesus? I actually want to give an opportunity. If you are here today and you know, you're not sure if you are part of God's family. If you're not 100% sure this morning that you have a right standing with God. Might be your first time that you need to say, Lord, I actually want to give my life to you. It might be a coming back like the prodigal son. You actually need to come and say, Lord, I want to make right with you. I want to have a right standing with you as my father. Because we can't be good children in the house of God unless we first become a child of God. We can't be brothers and sisters unless we first become a child of God. So just as we stand with every head bowed, just can we just give a moment? If someone needs to make that decision this morning, like I said, might be your first time, it might be a coming back. I want to give opportunity that we just create a little moment because it's actually the most important thing. If you want to say, Donovan, I actually need to come to Jesus this morning. make Jesus my Lord, my Savior. I need to make right with the Lord. I don't know where I'll be. I want to know that I'm right with the Lord. If I walk out here and if I die tomorrow, I want to know that I'm right with the Lord. If that is you this morning, can you just put up your hand and say, yes, I want to respond this morning. When I see that hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just give it a little bit more time. Just keep praying. Thanks. Thank you. I see that hand. Oh, Lord. As Jesus is coming back soon, and we want to be ready. We want to be ready, Lord. We don't want to rush these moments. We are here, Lord, for you. I want us to pray a prayer with these guys who've put a hand up this morning. If there's anyone else, I want you to pray with us this morning. But we're going to all pray this together, giving our lives to him, saying yes to him. So can we pray that together? Is that okay? If it's your first time or you're coming back to the Lord, let's look unto him. Let's say, Father, I come this morning. I give you my heart. I turn to you, Jesus. I believe in you, Jesus. And I accept you as my Lord and as my Savior. I turn from my own ways. I'm sorry for my own things and my sin. And I turn to you, Jesus. Come wash me clean this morning with your precious blood that you shed on the cross. And fill me with your love and with your spirit. I am yours, Lord. I am now your child. And you are mine. I think it will be great that we actually, amen. But I think it will be great if we actually just pray with those guys who've put up their hands. I hope that will be okay. You know, the Bible says if we confess, just hold on a minute. While we finish up, the Bible says if we confess Jesus before man, Jesus literally confessed us before the Father. So I would love us if we can pray with those guys to put up your hand. Can you put up your hand again? And then I want to ask a couple of guys just to come around you. There's a guy there. Mark, you guys there? Can we pray with you? Yeah. Mark, Jordan, will you guys pray? Anyone else who wanted us to pray with you? We would love to just pray with you. It will be amazing. We would love to, even if you want us to walk with you a little bit, we are here to walk with you these things out, to help you understand the ways of God and disciple you. If there's anyone, we don't want to embarrass you, but we would love to love you and walk out with you guys.